across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
I've been having some weird experiences for the past several years.
Speech Radio with a difference.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What's up?
Wow, that's an impressive diaphragm.
Thanks very much. That was me bailing out.
Wow.
I thought I'd overinvested even as I started that. And I was also partly looking at the clock thinking, I wonder if I could do this for a full 3 hours. Oh, how are you? I'm well, thanks for asking. It's Thursday, it's about 3 minutes past ten. Rufus Hound here, sitting in for Ian Lee, joined as ever by Kath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Thursday, yeah.
That's a Thursday, yeah. And a Friday, yeah, is... Yeah!
It's... Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we, what's the talk radio policy about alcoholic drinking?
On air?
Yeah.
Frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
But if they can't tell, they don't know.
It's frowned upon. That's not the same as something being outright banned, is it? that's just, we'll trust you to behave like adults. And that is trust misplaced.
Exactly.
I'm not saying tonight, but Friday. If we're not, all I would think is, if we're not fairly smashed to pieces, how are we meant to understand the people phoning in at this time on a Friday?
You're quite right. I'd never thought of it that way before. Why didn't I think of it before?
It's an obligation I feel to the listeners. So maybe we'll look forward to that tomorrow. We'll split a couple of bottles of Cote de Rhone.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I love Cote
one
de Rhone.
Each in a straw.
Yeah. Or one magnum size one and two straws coming up the top of it like we're 1950s teeny boppers. Well, all talk of tomorrow. I mean, that we've barely started the show and we're already talking about tomorrow's show.
We are jumping the gun, rather.
We are wishing our lives away, and we mustn't do that. You must cling on to every moment, for life is precious. What is there, friends, if not life? Huh? Answer that question. You have to love life. It's all there is.
Oh.
That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah, where did that come from?
It's from
before we start drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you ought to see me after the first bottle of Cote de Rhone. It's from a book called The Last Werewolf. I read when I was feeling a bit sad. And I was like, yeah, I get it, I'm alive, but why is that such a big deal? And then the book The Last Werewolf essentially opens on the man who knows he's the last werewolf. And he's been alive too long and he's just over it.
Yeah.
He's just over it. But he has a chap, the one person he's confided in that he's a werewolf, who finds him old books and sort of, you know, tries to jivvy him along and keep him cheerful. And in that one of those conversations says, you have to love life. It's all there is.
Gosh.
That really resonated with me. It turned my ideas right around. Stop being quite so ruddy miserable.
It must be annoying to be a werewolf, though. Like, all that trouser splitting.
Yeah.
The excess hair. The early exits from parties.
Yes. The once a month having to forcibly lock yourself up.
Yeah. The breath in the morning, my God.
Yeah.
What did I eat?
Mind you, we've all been there.
It would have explained an awful lot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not making any assumptions about how you lived your life, but I think from about the age of 19 to 32... I may well have been a werewolf. it's this sort of in-depth analysis of the horrors of existence that you can expect over the next 3 hours. Of course, we're not leading this. We don't set the agenda here on the Late Night Alternative. That, my friends, is set by you. How do you get involved? You pick up your telephone, you call 0344 499 1000. Or you can text us. 87222, but you need to start your text with the word talk. That's how it comes through to us. Or, you may have heard of, is it Twitter?
Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah, I think it's from the French.
Ah, Twitter.
Twitter.
Twitter. It's a new online service
To twit.
To Twitter. It's a Yorkshire-based service. Twitter. Where you can send pithy bon mots our way by starting your tweet with at Talk Radio. All of these are legitimate ways of getting in touch with us, and then we know what it is you want to talk about, and thus our show continues. We've already had one person phoning in saying they've been having disturbing dreams, and that we may be able to help them with some dream analysis.
Well, I think that this is the right place to come for such things. If you are in some sort of angst of a night,
yeah,
we can help you with that.
Yeah, I have genuinely a big enough ego that I believe that whatever ails you, I can cure. Mm-hmm. I've no problems with my messiah complex.
I'm not officially a doctor, but I saw quite a lot of Dr. Kildare growing up.
Right.
Casualty, bit older.
Yeah.
And I listened to a lot of medical talk.
Right, okay. I learnt hundreds of doctor jokes when I was growing up.
Between us, I think we could probably do an operation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A bloke goes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, I've got terrible problems with my guts."
Oh.
And sure enough, as he says it, he lets out an enormous fart, fills the entire room. The doctor, you know, his eyes are watering, he's really trying to keep it together. And he goes to the corner of the room and gets out an enormous wooden pole with a big hook on the end. The fella says to him, "What are you going to do with that?" And the doctor says, "I'm going to open a bloody window." There you go. I mean, I could just tell pub jokes for 3 hours, but...
Have you heard the strawberries one?
No, I'm all ears, though. it's she's already made herself laugh just with the title of the joke.
Oh, doctor, terrible. I've got terrible piles. They look like a bunch of strawberries. He said, "Hang on, I've got some cream for that." Oh, you're very kind, but I know that's not as good as your big long pole joke.
The fella goes to the doctor. He says, "Doctor, every time I fart, it sounds like a motorbike." And he says, "What?" He says, "Yeah, every time I fart, it sounds like a motorbike." Sure enough, almost on cue, the bloke lets one go. Doctor says, "That's absolutely amazing." He says, "Well, drop your strides, bend over, let me have a look." He bends over, doctor has a look. He says, "Oh, I see what the problem is." He says, just on the side of your sphincter, says, you've got an abscess. He says, "It's very common." He says, "Really?" The doctor says, "Yes. Abscess makes the fart go Honda." Is this really what we should... Does the nation need...
Three in a row bum jokes.
Three in a row doctor-based bum jokes. That is what you are going to be looking down the barrel of unless you join in and stop us. This reign of terror must end. The only thing that stops a bad man with bad jokes is a good caller with a nuanced point of view. 0344 499 1000 to get involved. Text us 87222, start your text with the word talk, or tweet us at Talk Radio. Friends, would you believe who we have on the line? Go on.
Could it be?
I'll spin the see if you can guess wheel of Talk Radio fortune, and let's see where it lands.
Oh. Could it be? It's not, is it? Caddick. Alan Caddick.
Alan Caddick's on the line! Alan Caddick, king of the first calling obligation.
Ribbit the bear!
You're watching on the webcam, clearly. I didn't realise you could see me with no clothes on.
No, I'm not looking at any webcams. I'm just looking at your old TV programme, and they've gone all international.
Have they indeed?
Gino and Holly's on the Italian side, and Fern's on the French.
Well, how lovely. What a beautiful salute to our European cousins. Celebrity Juice have really caught the zeitgeist with how people in this country feel about Europe, and they've embraced it wholeheartedly. Well played them.
And Keith Lemon's looking like Jamiroquai.
Well, I think that's sort of his thing these days, isn't it? He loves an elaborate hat.
Yeah, it's very green.
It's nice, this, because I think a lot of people tuning in are tuning in because they can't get to a television.
Yeah.
So it's quite reassuring that you're just describing what's on.
He's watching it so you don't have to.
Yeah, that's
one of
it.
One of the guests is Fred from First Dates.
Oh, right.
Fred from First Dates.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
He's
you can get in your chair.
Oh, right, the sommelier. Mm. He's devilishly handsome.
He is.
That feels like First Dates trip themselves up, because any lady walking into the restaurant...
I'll take that one.
Exactly, yeah. And then what have you got instead? This sort of, you know, meat sack in the corner. hello, I'm your... Oh, God, here we go. Did you watch the one they did for Stand Up For Cancer?
Yes, I did.
With Fabricant. Oh, just horrifying.
I didn't... At first, I felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
Then I felt sorry for him.
Did you?
Then I felt sorry for everyone in the whole...
the viewers, whole restaurant. The production company, anyone within a three-mile radius. I didn't feel... At no point did I feel sorry for him, I have to say, but maybe that's just the strength of my own prejudice.
No, they've got Gino presenting Celebrity Juice now.
Have you called just to rub it in, or...?
No, I come near to the Waitrose advert.
Ah. You finally watched the Waitrose advert?
Yes, I did. I've been on the bus today.
I've been working non-stop. I've seen almost no television at all. So I haven't seen it either. Alan, I'd like, before we start this, so far, your top three Christmas ads.
Well, Sainsbury's comes in at number three.
All right, okay.
That two is one I haven't talked about yet. Audi.
Haven't seen it.
Number one, I think it would be Waitrose.
And this is the one you phoned up to give us a shot by shot for listeners who missed Monday. We commissioned Alan to keep us fully abreast of the Christmas ads with his shot by shot recount.
Yeah, tonight it's all about Waitrose. Their setup this year is a group of people who are snowed in at a pub. Oh. And when the power goes from being snowed in, thinking, what are we going to do? Are we going to eat each other? And they said, no, let's make a nice Christmas dinner with stuff that was bought at Waitrose before they were snowed in. And then...
Hang on.
Somebody thought about eating each other.
Yes, exactly. They had a bag of, like, dinner accoutrement with them, but their first point of call was, maybe we should eat each other.
We've been locked in here for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Was that John? We're all out of pork scratchings? Dave, you're looking tasty. hang on. Isn't that a bag of Christmas dinner things? Never mind what's in the bag, Dave.
Look at Paul.
Yeah, stop rubbing yourself. Start rubbing yourself in brandy butter, will you? Beautiful bastard.
The last thing was the actual people who actually dug them out and the power came back on, so they were rescued just as they were sitting down to have the Christmas dinner.
Right. And let me guess, they decided they didn't want to be rescued after all.
No, because they took so much time preparing the dinner in the first place.
Right. So, what was the moral of the story here? Was it, by any chance, shop at Waitrose?
We said, for things that bring people together.
Mm. Well, hang on, that's natural disasters and global warming then, isn't it? Waitrose, creating snowstorms that mercilessly ruin people's Christmases.
Oh no, and tomorrow night it's the granddaddy of them all.
Oh, which one's that?
John Lewis!
Haven't they done it?
No, we've already...
You've seen it.
It wasn't it you that told... Oh, no, the Moz the Monster is the John Lewis.
Yeah, and I am again my top with Colette.
Oh, I'm
all
with
right.
you. Tomorrow's the daddy of them all because you're going to ring up and give us your full breakdown on Moz the Monster.
Yeah.
The one that everyone's seen.
The one that everyone's seen.
No, it's great to kick off the weekend.
Yeah, lovely. Do you know, Alan, I genuinely think you've been listening to this show too long now, where you've worked out how a producer thinks. It's like, okay, we'll get a slow build going, and then we'll top out, you know, and that gives the week a sense of shape.
On the documentary, I think I'm thinking into her way of thinking.
Yeah, you've tuned in. You've tuned in both to talk radio and to the philosophy that governs talk radio.
Oh, my God. You know Holly Willoughby?
I'm
still
I do
watching
know
the
it,
telly.
Yeah.
She's put her fist in duck confetti.
Oh, again.
Oh,
what are they like,
right,
eh? It's almost like they've set out to make a show that's pointless entertainment.
Well, it is on TV too.
Exactly. It's just, you know, some things in life we should take seriously and some things we shouldn't. And what's the harm in having a lovely laugh? Eh, Alan?
That's what first Thursday nights are made for.
Thursday nights are made for laughing.
I love the way you said to you know Holly Willoughby. Actually, yes, I
yes,
do.
Yes, I've been to her house.
She's laughing his head off in Gino's seat because he's enjoying it. And he's not even doing it.
He's not even doing it. He's not even doing it. I mean, why is he there? He's not even doing it, Alan.
But
bloody
I
hell.
By that genius. Bandage on his hand. Why has he got that bandage there?
Yeah.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he gets asked that a lot. And it largely the people that ask that question haven't got the joke.
Well, my mum thought he was covering some offensive tattoo of some sort.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Well, it was when Keith had joined the Yakuza. He was given a gang tattoo and he doesn't want word getting out that he's part of the Japanese underground.
And we all know about our glorious leader loves Japanese music.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's listening to someone who's writing the book.
I wonder. I wonder what he's doing now. Probably sitting there thinking about you, Cads.
Oh, probably thinking, God, we've cut him off.
Yeah, he probably is. I would imagine he's not the only one, if I'm honest, Alan. I tease, I jest.
I know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same. I mean, we tried it last night, didn't we, Alan, where you weren't the first one on, and I don't know, it felt to me that the show lacked that familiar pep.
Oh, boy. But,
what's happening now? What's happening now, Alan? Alan! 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 Can you hear me, Alan?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What's happening now on the telly?
Fred from First Dates is in the chair.
He's not.
And he's touching one of Gino's mob.
Oh, my God.
A fat guy called Luigi.
Oh, my days.
How do they think of these things?
This is mental. Oh, my stars.
Luigi's being greased up in lard now.
Yeah.
And under the arms and on the belly.
He's being trussed up like a Christmas turkey. Let's hope they don't get snowed in.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Fred's going in.
Shh, Kath, shut up.
And he's under the armpit.
He's under the armpit!
I don't know if he's enjoying it more. Fred or Luigi?
Gosh.
Why are we on the radio, Kath?
Why didn't I bring any kind of oil up material? That's what the people want.
That's what people want. They want a shot. They want. I mean, we are literally. What are we doing with our lives?
We're talking to
a man who's watching the telly, and we are broadcasting that to people who, by this point, are probably not wrong in thinking.
Now.
Why don't I just turn the telly on and watch this rather than getting this sort of bizarre fourth hand reportage of something that is free to access in my own home?
03444991 if you want to join in.
What are you watching? Call me now.
Call me now. I tell you what, if you can, phone up and don't tell us what you're watching, but describe what you're watching, and Kath and I will see if we can guess what it is you've got on your telly in an item we're calling What's on the Telly? One of the most self-defeating strands in the history of radio broadcasting.
We're watching the telly on the radio.
it's a future concept. I mean, Gogglebox is people watching the telly on the telly. So we're going to do Audio Box. Radio Box? A fancy word for ears, a sort of slang term. Shell-like box? No, not really.
Listening box.
Listening box. Listening box.
Sound box.
Sound box.
Sound bites.
We're getting away from it now.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it's called. Just phone up and tell us what you're watching.
Yeah. What are you watching on the telly, on the radio?
Oh, my God. I've just done a non-Christmas advert for Black Friday. I mean, this must be a new phenomenon.
Well, it was imported from America because it's... Americans really celebrate Thanksgiving with the same verve that we celebrate Christmas.
Is that today?
Well, no, but it's this time of year, isn't it? So Black Friday was a thing started in America because people wanted to buy each other Thanksgiving gifts, and it was all the lead-up to Christmas when you give each other big presents. So all the shops started doing big sales for Thanksgiving, but they also worked out, as a sales pitch, it worked quite well. So we have imported Black Friday as a thing,
and
but we haven't really
well.
Done Thanksgiving because that plays no part in our historical bank holiday-based calendar.
No, and we can't appropriate that either. There's no way of doing it.
I think we can't appropriate Thanksgiving because, by and large, the genocide that created America was, in no small part, done by British people.
Yeah.
So, and the online equivalent of it is Cyber Monday.
Yes.
That's true.
I like how, in our pressy of a continent-wide genocide, the bit you took from it, Alan, was what day the sales are on. Being as how you're so obsessed, Alan, with sales and advertising, you are going to love this next bit.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. That's the number to phone if you want to get involved. Currently, we have one caller on the switchboard. So, we've very few options in who we talk to next.
I wonder if that caller's watching something fun on the telly.
I wonder if he is. Let's see who it is. It's Jonathan in Swansea. Jonathan!
Hello.
First time caller?
No.
Are you watching anything on telly, Jonathan?
I don't watch TV.
Okay, fine. Jonathan, I'm just going to stop you there. Jessica from Sheffield's just called in. Put her straight through, Sam. Don't worry, Jonathan, we are coming back to you, but it may be the case that we will just quickly check in with Jessica. Jessica!
Wow, hello, Rufus.
What are we watching on the telly, Jessica?
Well, I'm going to give you some clues.
Nice.
I'm literally just watching it because even I can't bring myself to have the sound up.
Okay.
It's a UK version of an American show.
Okay, just give us a commentary of what the action is.
Yeah.
Well, it's on a commercial break at the moment, but I'll tell you what happened in the last 5 seconds.
Perfect.
I assume, because like I say, I'm not really listening, I'm just watching. It's a bunch of women arguing with each other. No doubt they've got some kind of problem with someone being a bit common, someone being a bit above themselves, someone having someone that is in the press... And their boyfriend is the girlfriend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Is it Spice World?
No.
Is it Question
it's
Time?
a slightly obscure channel, but available on Freeview.
Right,
okay. Because I'll be honest, Sam, who pulls the switches here for us, when you started talking, punched the air and went, oh, I know it. And he's just written on the screen what he thinks it is. There's no way it's Geordie Shore. No way
it's
at all.
It's Geordie Shore.
Yeah.
Even I'm not that common. It's a franchise where there's lots of the so-and-so of so-and-so, the so-and-so of so-and-so.
I know exactly what we're talking about. Real Housewives.
It's so dire. It's like we tried to cash in on something that really doesn't belong in our culture.
Yeah.
That someone somewhere's thought, you know what, we need something to fill an hour, so we'll just make it. And like I say, I watch it ever so slightly religiously, which I'm ashamed of, obviously.
But
there's something, I don't know, strangely compelling about watching people that are... really non-entities. It's about to come back on. The commercial break is over. That are essentially non-entities, but are going to be on certain programs. Big Brother, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
I say that without prejudice under the circumstances.
Yeah.
And we'll all watch them again, and they will get their 5 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of fame, if you're going to quote, what's he called?
Warhol.
That's the one. But really, it's just something that I watch because I do kind of like to watch something on TV every day when I'm not listening to the radio.
Right. So is it The Real Housewives of Cheshire?
That's the one, Kath. That's well done.
I've never seen that one. I'm quite addicted to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
There are literally about 30 versions of
this,
aren't
I only opted into a couple. I quite like... I started on New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was quite good.
I understand why.
Yeah, it was great. It was about
I understand why, because one of the women in that, her husband ended up in jail.
Yes.
Straight after she'd done a jail sentence for a bankruptcy or something. I'm so ashamed that I know all this stuff.
I do as well. Teresa Giudice was the name. And her husband was it Joe? Joan. She used to talk
Joe
like
Giudice.
That. Yeah, Joe. My Joan didn't do nothing. It's all this, right? But they're really, really rich, like obscenely rich.
Yeah.
At least in Beverly Hills, I mean, yeah, you know, it's kind of glitzy and it's a bit like Barbie's dream house they live in. But the Giudices live in this, like, everything's like big leather armchairs and everything's massive. You know, it's kind of like the Ferrari of houses. And then, do you remember that time they had a paired back Christmas because they were both looking at going to jail, basically?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they only bought each other a couple of diamond watches.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we've all had those Christmases.
Yeah, you've got to be...
2008, after the big crash.
You've got to be sensible.
I think I only bought my wife a Lambo.
I'm thinking
by which I mean a bow to put on a lamb.
I'm loving that Kath knows more about it than me, because that's instantly making me feel better about this call.
Don't be ashamed.
And also, it's that strange kind of thing where you watch it and it's selling a dream, and part of that dream you want to buy into. You want to buy into the houses, the Ferraris, the clothes, the makeup, the personal assistants. But equally, you think, thanks. God,
I know.
That's not me.
Whenever I watch those programmes, I think they all need to go out and get jobs, right? Because they spend their time bitching and moaning and competing with each other like 15-year-old girls,
yeah.
Right, with daddy's credit card. It's ridiculous. They've got nothing else to worry about than who's talking about who and who's drinking. You know, it's all this stuff, all talking about each other the whole time and in each other's pockets. And I just think, get jobs.
But we were talking about Jeremy Kyle the other day.
Yeah.
And how... I always find Jeremy Kyle a very hard watch, because essentially they find people who are broken, whose lives are terrible, and then they wheel them out while an audience full of people basically sits around jeering at them, and people at home get to look at those people and go, ugh, look at them, ugh, horrible, horrible. And this Real Housewives thing is exactly the same, just the other way around.
Except these people don't realise they're broken.
Right.
And they think they're living a better life than everyone else.
But isn't the point that we offer up, that what that type of television does is basically encourage you not to examine your own life and how you can be better, but just look at people whose lives are broken and then tell yourself, oh, well, my life's fine because at least I'm not one of those arseholes.
That's exactly what both of those programmes are about.
Yes,
making
but
you feel superior.
I think that's the spectrum.
I think that's an old head. But maybe that's the genius of the way that sort of culture's going, because, you know, you've got the Jeremy Carls of this world. You know, they're the kind of, you know, injury lawyers for us people. And then you've got the housewives of this world. They're the kind of people that attempt to be something, that they're like one step up from Jeremy Kyle. It's almost like they could have been on Jeremy Kyle, but some production company threw loads of money at them and said, we're going to give you a different option to make your route to fame. And also you've got teeth, so that's a bonus. and then there's like the kind of quality TV, I suppose, that you might see in something like Planet Earth. And I think we need it all. In order to be able to function.
You don't think Planet Earth is about the same thing as well? Look at those scumbag whales.
No, I don't.
The top of that fish's head is see-through. Oi, mate, get a haircut.
You're on telly. Yeah.
You're on telly. Tart yourself up. It may be that you live in the aquatic abyss and light doesn't permeate down this far, but Attenborough's coming. Put on a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know they're
all
foreign.
That kind of blowfish is trying to open a crab or something. It's like, you know, it's the species that wins. And who's winning? You know what? These people that I'm watching right now, like I say, I can't see what they're saying because I never have the volume up on the UK version. But her makeup's perfect, her hair's perfect, she's gym ready, and, you know, she's good to go. And she's probably making more money than me, you and Kath put together.
Yeah.
Well, is she happy, though? Is she happy?
Probably. Well, yeah,
probably. Yes. She's probably on her ninth gin and tonic. I'd imagine she's absolutely delighted. Yeah. Although I like the phrase gym ready, because the only other time that I hear the word ready used at the end of a turn of phrase is oven ready. Gym ready just makes me think they've been trussed up, ready to be tossed in somewhere warm.
And boiled.
Yeah, and boiled. It's just there to be consumed.
Yeah, I'm about to go, Rufus, because, you know, I've said my piece, but you're doing a great job. Alan is on form this week.
Yeah.
He's inspired, and Kath, it's lovely to hear you having more time on air.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's amazing. See, if you give people a bit of love, a bit of affection, nurture them. You know, I'm the supply teacher that's basically come in with a guitar.
You are.
Like,
you are.
Hey, come on, kids.
All of us callers trying to sort of, you know, put some kind of fart cushion under your seat. We're all embracing you.
Oh, bless
and that's
you.
Saying something with this audience.
Yeah, but then again, it's only week one.
Yeah.
It's only week one.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes week two.
Plenty of time to nosedive this sucker. Don't you worry about that. The GPS can't possibly guide us to our actual destination. Well, look, Jessica, thank you so much for ringing in and playing telly on the radio. What's on TV? What's on TV? What's on TV? On the radio.
Wow. Did you make that up yourself?
She said, using exactly the same tone of voice that you would use for a child who'd smeared their own feces on a wall and said it was a unicorn.
Wow. Did you draw that yourself? Actually, it's the same, yes.
It's a unicorn. Jonathan in Swansea, thanks for hanging on. CJ in Stockport, though, you've called in. CJ, are you watching the telly?
Hello. Incoming, Rufus.
There you go. There's a point right off the bat.
I said your name wrong and then said it right again. Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching this really interesting show.
Right, lovely. But what could it be?
Well, it started off with this lady just hanging around house talking to another lady friend.
Right.
And then there was a knock at the door.
Oh, no. I think I might have seen this one.
The boiler was broken.
Right, yeah.
The two women started getting undressed slowly. And I thought, it was a bit strange.
Well, it's warm. The boiler's broken.
The boiler's broken, yeah.
And then this happened. And we just sort of, I'm just started watching this. I'm thinking, what's this about? Where's the story? Where's the context?
Yeah.
Why are they naked? You know, I want to care about these people.
Where's the character?
What
is it that drives these women?
Well, you're about to find out.
I want to know. And you know, the chap's got a very big toolbox.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, he's a professional. He's not going to turn up to fix a boiler without an array of tools that may be required for boiler repair.
But there is a shocker in this, a bit of a twist of the story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the boiler's broke.
What?
Yeah. I think the boiler isn't broken. This and these two women just called the man over to stare at his bare buttocks, and I find that offensive.
Yes, no, CJ, I'm glad somebody is finally speaking out about this.
I mean, absolutely. Men are not just there for the female gaze, are they?
No,
exactly. You know, men need to stand up and stop this nonsense. It's absolutely outrageous.
I think men standing up is probably the least of his problems in the thing you're describing. But, yes, for too long, men have been objectified
absolutely.
In this horrific manner for what is so-called entertainment, CJ. And I think it sends a message to women that it's okay to call a tradesperson.
Yes, exactly.
And have them dance around to the beat of your drum and make absolutely outlandish demands on them when they are there to keep their head down, do a hard day's graft.
Sort those pipes out.
What I like to do, on a serious note, when I actually get people coming around fixing things that are broke, because it's like a housing agency, if I've got a leak or something, I will leave inappropriate items under the sink for them to find, because it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? It is funny.
It is. I mean, I had a housing inspect come around, and I had this big adult entertainment toy left on my desk. and she's there just looking, oh, the property's nice, oh, little cobweb in the corner. She does see the adult entertainment toy.
Yeah.
But says nothing.
What's she going to say?
Yeah.
I, d- don't know, anything would be good, wouldn't it, you know?
I went into that house and saw a massive dildo, but he seemed
all
right.
She's rather strict with things.
Yeah. You realise that you're that guy now in the office. Yeah. They're coming in every time, they'll be keeping a list, a tally of all the things that they've spotted, yeah.
Yeah.
Dildo and Dalek guy.
Yeah.
Interchangeable.
17 Daleks. Yeah, he's basically working his way through the D's.
I've got an international dick collection.
Well, congratulations.
It's people go on holiday, I say to them, could you bring me back something that's inappropriately shaped? And they go, yeah, sure. So I've got lighter ones, I've got a dancing one, I've got a bottle opener one. You know, it's a great hobby.
So if anyone's short of one, you know where to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're full of dicks in Stockport, so.
There's the title for your autobiography, CJ, when you eventually get around to writing it.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a very good, entertaining book.
Well, thank you for playing TV on the radio. On the radio, TV on the radio. On the radio.
Late night conversation, wealth, losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's 10:44, Rufus Hound in for Ian Lee here on the Late Night Alternative. Kath sits opposite me.
I do.
That's her voice.
That is.
She's helping me guess what people are watching on the telly, on the radio. Jonathan, we thank you for holding. Jonathan in Swansea there. He's already explained that he doesn't watch television, so for the time that we are playing TV on the radio, we guess what you're watching on the radio. On the radio. Jerry and crew.
Hello.
Right, Jerry, what are you watching?
A single white female on the screen.
Jerry, can I just check? Have you wrapped a sock around the end of your telephone?
No, sorry, no. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, literally,
you're
Jerry.
You're a bit muffled.
All we're getting is it's. Are you hiding under a bed, or have you put the telephone in a different room?
No, just in the other room.
Oh yeah.
The shoebox.
Go on.
The ladies. Even gesturing for me to come into the telly, I think. She's on a black settee.
A black settee on the telly, right.
We're in. And entice me to spend money.
Right.
On the screen. And there's a countdown. I don't know if there's a right with you and come on the end of it.
Oh, God, is it Babe Station?
Oh. Yeah.
Jerry, you filthy animal!
There's a camera thing coming, watching. I've never thought I've done that before. I thought sleep watching can come to the remote control when I woke up.
So, of the four calls we've had playing TV on the radio, Alan was watching Celebrity Juice, which largely just seemed like an excuse to remind me about a show that I have no longer work on. But that itself basically is a series of, you know, rude situations. We have one woman ring out. One woman noticed, by the way. One woman who took us on our word, played the game respectfully.
And we discussed reality television.
Discussed, you know, the relative merits thereof. And then everyone since then, pornography. I think we're learning something about who listens. Who listens? Basically, they put talk radio on in the background whilst people are knocking one out.
Surely we're a bit of a buzzkill, aren't we?
But this is the thing. This is the more worrying thing. Evidently, watching pornography isn't enough to get these people over the line. We are the salt. We are the garnish on their masturbatory salad.
It's not pornography. It's not pornography.
No, it's art, isn't it, Jerry? Of course it is.
It's
keep
art.
Telling yourself that.
Also, is that why have you got a ball gag in,
no.
Jerry?
Jerry's got Parkinson's.
Oh, Jerry, I apologise.
But he's also a pervert, so don't apologise too much because it's not beyond the realms.
I've got another carrying across the way, a waiting, dancing with the window. Pole dance. I've got a grandma doing a pole dance out the window to him.
There's an old grandma doing a pole dance out of the window to
you? No, I'm doing a pole dance with the old lady across the road. I care them beat every day, dance Tom Jones.
And that, just in case you haven't seen it, is the Aldi Christmas advert. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Jerry stripped down to his wife fronts. Everywhere I go, old lady walks past window.
Old lady has a thrombone.
Oh, chestnuts roasting.
I've got something that they'll bring back on telly.
Oh, right, lovely.
Michaela Stockton.
What should we bring back to the telly, Jerry?
Michaela Stockton, Pete Walton in the middle of the night. The lonely people who can't get to the nightclub, they bring the nightclub to your telly.
Hitman and Her.
Hitman and Her.
That's the one.
Bring it back.
We're not talking about old telly, come on.
No, when you've got the lonely people who don't think you're at night, they're doing these gambling programs. Have a dancer, put some handbags on the settee and stuff and dance on. That's on the settee and bike friends have social gatherings with him and hearing.
Jerry, you seem to be implying, and I don't think for a moment you mean to do this deliberately, that what you're seemingly suggesting is the only thing that will stop you masturbating is the face of Pete Waterman. it's a Babe Station diet for Jerry on the late night television, but if only they'd bring back the Hitman and Her, maybe he could put it back in his strides for 2 minutes and watch Bananarama.
Bananarama. Yes, you've got patch of Bananarama. Becky's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen. No pun intended.
Yeah. Well, I've got a feeling some pun intended there, Jerry.
A little one.
A little pun intended.
A little bit of me. Inverted.
All right, I think we've had enough, Jerry.
Yeah.
So have you.
Jerry, we're going to eat our sprouts now. Yeah, we've had melon and parma ham. We've given Nana a sherry. And now we've got to eat our sprouts. Unless, of course, there's anyone else out there who wishes to play TV on the radio, on the radio, TV on the radio, on the radio. If you're watching television right now, on mute, but listening to us, then phone us on 0344 499 1000 so that you can describe what you're watching and Kath and I can guess what it is you are watching.
And can it please not be porn?
And can it...
Again.
Or if it is porn, can it be something really exciting?
No,
I take that back immediately. I just meant something unexpected.
Again,
yeah, no,
I wouldn't
terrible.
Dangle that carrot either.
No, you're quite right. You are quite right. Jonathan, thank you for holding on. Nobody else is phoning at the moment to play TV on the radio. So we can turn our attention back to you. All this talk of pornography may have made Kath and I a little giddy, Jonathan. So if we appear in light spirits, hopefully you can bring us crashing back down to earth.
And then some.
Oh, well, while you're busy with that, although I don't watch telly, I do download plenty of the videos from YouTube to watch at my leisure.
Fascinating.
Sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. What was your most recent download?
I downloaded a video from a channel called My Life in Gaming about a games console, and just watching that because it's very similar to one that I've ordered from America that's coming out in February.
Which one's that?
You haven't heard of it. It's a HD. A version of the Super Nintendo that's different from the one in the shops.
It's the, what, the Mini?
No, it's not the Mini.
Is it a hooky one?
No, it's not a hooky one. It's unofficial, but it's perfectly legal.
So, it's a Nintendo console, not made by Nintendo, not made by Nintendo, but it's perfectly legal.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, of course. You're kidding yourself, Jonathan, of course. Can I stop you just there for one moment, Jonathan? I don't mean to be rude, but Simon from the New Forest is on. Simon, are you watching the television?
Yo! Yes, I am. I've gone back in time, though.
Okay. Listen, I'll take it.
Okay.
Right, okay.
To the school holidays...
Yeah.
in the 6 week summer holidays.
I mean, it's why don't you? But let's just pretend we don't know that. No, and string
no,
it out for
no,
a while.
It's not. It's not. No, it's not.
All right.
I've gone back 30. Bloody hell, 35 years. Yep. I just realised how old I am. Oh my god.
What Simon, can you see, Simon? What can you see?
Simon started this conversation with so much joy and enthusiasm and then just immediately hit a moment of existential terror. Oh, my God. One day I'm going to die.
Okay, I can see a Wally.
A Wally?
A Wally. And he is wearing rather extravagant glasses.
Yeah.
And he's full of energy.
Simon, no disrespect, but the speed you're talking, are you genuinely looking back through time? Are you squinting hard at the photons at the outer edges of the universe that have travelled at light speed 35 years away? You're actually peering 35 light years into the future. I'm looking at... Give me a second. Let me just focus the lens of my binoculars.
I wonder if we can see if we look hard enough.
I want to make it sound genuine.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
All right, that's your acting. Is your...
Yeah.
Hang on, I can see the Wally.
Oh, hang on.
Is he standing between two children on stools, and has one of them got a plaster on their chin?
Oh, Kev, you're sad just like me.
Is it?
Can you see it, Rufus?
If I really squint to my ear, I can just hear him say, it's a word association game where you mustn't pause or hesitate. If you do, you get a bash on the head like this, or like this. And the first word
look
is...
Look at each other and say blur.
Look at each other and say blur.
Look at me and
say blur.
Look at the people at home and say blur.
And. Mr. Mallet!
No, I don't know what you're watching.
No idea. Oh, that's a real head scratcher.
It was Why Don't You? Just switch off your television set and go out and do something less boring instead.
Yeah. Do you know who one of the researchers on that show was?
Paxman?
One of the first jobs he know. I mean, it could well have been.
Go
it's
on.
Not the one I'm thinking of. Not the one I know of. Russell T. Davies.
Was it?
Yeah, an early job in television. He was a researcher on Why Don't You?
Gosh.
And he, when the whole scandal broke about TV is lying to you, he said that when he was a researcher on Why Don't You, they regularly made up what the letters were for coming in from children, because every time they had to do a cooking item, unless they were going to make cornflake chocolate cakes again. Basically, their mailbag was just 19,000 letters explaining how to make Rice Krispie chocolate cakes.
Aww.
So they had to pretend that, oh, we've got a letter here from a young man called Gerald who's going to teach us how to make...
A Florentine tipsy cake. I used to love the Why Don't You in Belfast when they used to say, we've got a fellum.
We've got a fellum.
Fellum.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Why don't you?
Why don't you?
Now, look.
Surrender. What?
I just thought of a ghost perv.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, an extra point for ghost perv?
Well, allow me to say incoming and good evening, Rupert.
Yes, very good. He's got it. Oh, well, no, you don't get the point for the good evening, Rupert. I'm sorry, the rules are you have to start with that.
Oh, all right. Well, I can live on this occasion.
Yeah. You're still ahead. You're still top of the leaderboard tonight, Simon.
Oh, cool, cool. Bit surreal. Let's have Timmy Mallet and the Mallet.
Oh, gosh. Wow, that's dark.
Oh. Look at me and say, Look at that and say, Look at the people at home and go,
Do you remember what else they used to play on that show? Bonk and Boob.
Bonk and Boob?
Do you remember that?
No, I really don't.
And that was the Wide Awake Club. Yeah.
We're ready and we know
we're wide awake. So on your mark,
now get to go. It's Saturday, no school today, so what you gonna do?
It's no excuse to stay in bed, we're waiting here for you.
So on your marks, and yeah, on here, and yeah, and meh.
Get it together, let's set,
let's go.
Yeah, that.
We're having a lovely time.
Was Roland Rat on Wide Awake Club? Is that what he made his debut on?
Let me think about that. If only I had some way to fill a bit of thinking time.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
What I'm going to say sounds ridiculous.
And the completely unorthodox.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
You never know just where the conversation will take you.
Is that Commando?
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
No, I don't remember it, no. Do you remember it?
No.
No, we don't remember it, Simon.
Does Jonathan remember it?
Does Jonathan remember it? Can we get two lines live at the same time?
Yeah.
Jonathan, welcome. You're now the official co-presenter of the Late Night Alternative. Simon, would you recap for Jonathan what you're wondering whether he can remember?
I can't remember what the question was now. Was Roland Rat on the Wide Awake Club?
Was Roland Rat on the Wide Awake Club? Jonathan?
It was before the Wide Awake Club.
I think Roland Rat was on TVAM.
Yeah.
And then they had some success, didn't they, with bringing in that younger crowd.
So, Jonathan, were you a Rat
Mike
fan?
Mike Myers was on the Wide Awake Club, not Roland Rat.
No.
Who was?
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers was on. Yes, he was. Yeah, it was.
I thought he was off killing people.
No, that's Mike. Okay.
That's Michael Myers, and that was a fictional account, I believe. I don't believe the Halloween movies were a documentary.
No,
I could be wrong.
It would put you off babysitting.
Anyway, can I say good evening to Jonathan? Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, a bit of noise outside my place at the moment, which means that something's up.
Have you seen what it is?
No, not yet. Oh. It seems to have stopped now.
Oh. Did you hear my comment last night about sending you on a holiday?
Pardon?
Did you hear the comment I made yesterday about sending you on a holiday?
No, I didn't hear it.
Don't worry about that. Simon?
Yeah?
Imagine a world in which you were trying to make Jonathan your friend. All right, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Imagine a world in which you were trying to be friends with Simon. Now, just play it out. Let's see how that goes. You ready? Two fellas don't agree with each other, probably heard each other speak, disagreed a lot. But let's see if we can now be nice to one another, find some common ground. Are you both up for that?
Yeah.
Jonathan, you up for it?
What's in it for me?
Well,
that's the spirit.
That's, yeah. If you start from that place, Jonathan, then nothing good will come. But maybe this is where we turn a bit of a corner. So that's what's in it for you, is that maybe your own standing in the feeling of the listenership is improved. That's what's in it for you.
I don't care about my standing in the listenership. I'm not obsessed with popularity.
I'm not saying you are, but isn't it better to be somebody who is charismatic and appeals to people and is thought of as being maybe somebody who holds different opinions but is essentially a decent chap?
Well, I am charismatic, but I don't care about whether other people like me or not.
No, but I'm not saying you necessarily have to care about whether or not people like you, but we could have a thing where you have some opinions, Simon has some opinions, they may not add up, but we could still try and be friendly toward one another, couldn't we?
Jonathan?
What?
Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah.
What?
Ringing into Talk Radio.
Apart from that?
Reading the news. The real news, not the...
not fake news.
Corporate rubbish.
What's real news?
Anything that hasn't gone through the purview of Rupert Murdoch, the BBC or The Guardian.
Do you... Like, you don't watch films or watch television, no?
I don't watch TV, but I watch plenty of films.
What's your favourite? What's your favourite movie?
I don't have a favourite movie.
All right. If you were gonna,
sorry, I'm really trying to stay out of this. Jonathan, you must have a favourite. You must have at least a couple of movies that you like more than other movies. If you watch loads of movies, there must be some that ring out as being, you know, better than others.
There are a lot of movies I like.
All right. Well, we'll offer up one of those. All right. One of a number. A film that you have particularly enjoyed.
Well, it's hard to pick one out because there's so many.
Have you ever seen my favourite film of all time, Schindler's List?
Yeah, I've seen Schindler's List. I haven't been able to sit through it all in one sitting, though. I've seen it all, but not all in one sitting. And it's not the sort of film I like to sit down and relax to.
So what do you relax to then? Fantasy or fact or?
I usually find facts more interesting than fiction.
Okay. So what sort of factual film springs to mind that you've seen then?
Super Size Me was a good film.
It was.
That one was a good one.
Bit of an eye opener, wasn't it?
Trying to think now. It's hard because that's the only one that flashes into my head at the moment.
Do you like fiction?
Well, yeah, I like fiction.
Have you ever seen any of the Quentin Tarantino films?
I've seen only one, and I wasn't very impressed with it.
Which one?
Reservoir Dogs.
Ah, that's one of his older ones, yeah.
It sort of went downhill after the opening scene. The opening scene was great, but it went downhill after that.
Well, if you like gangster films, have you tried anything with De Niro and Pesci in them?
No, but I have got The Bank Job on DVD.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's a good one.
Go on.
It's a drama documentary with Jason Statham.
Oh.
Yeah, right. A damn fine film.
I haven't seen that one. But if you like gangster films...
You're missing out.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what then. I'll do you a deal. I will watch The Bank Job if you agree to watch Casino.
I haven't got Casino.
We can, I reckon we could probably hook you up with a link, Jonathan.
I don't have internet at home.
Well, how are you downloading stuff off YouTube?
I go various places, all legal and above board. Friends.
I'm not. No one was casting that aspersion. You can get internet all sorts of places.
Yep.
Jonathan, why don't you have the internet?
Because I'd never leave the house.
Because you would never leave the house, did you say?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But do you have access to a phone that you can get the internet on?
No, because the costs spiral out of control on 4G.
Well, not if you're careful with what you're doing.
Well, and if you go somewhere with a free Wi-Fi hotspot, like
True.
McDonald's or whatever. I mean, I realise you've watched Super Size Me, so maybe that's put you off that. Put you off the old Golden Arches. But,
I don't particularly like Wi-Fi because it's so unstable and unreliable.
I don't know the last time you used it. On the whole now, it's normally pretty good.
Not where I live. It's very spotty.
So, Jonathan, we only know you, of course, as Jonathan from Swansea. Swansea's a pretty major city.
Hmm.
I try to stay out of Swansea as much as possible. Too many weirdos with handguns.
Jonathan, I've got a feeling you're very scared about a lot of things.
Well, it's a big, scary world.
Yeah, but
I think you put on a big, you do put on a big front, which I'm gathering from this conversation alone, a lot of what you say, Jonathan, you don't actually mean. I think you're fighting against something that isn't actually a problem to you. Life can be absolutely wonderful if you let it be.
I don't doubt that, but you've got to be responsible.
What do you mean?
Every privilege comes with a responsibility, and you've got to be careful. You can't go too far down the hedonist lifestyle. There is a greater meaning to life than just simple pleasure seeking.
Well, I think we would all agree with that, wouldn't you, Simon?
I do, but I live my life on a day-to-day basis without necessarily thinking about consequences.
Are you not currently on heroin, Simon? That seems to be, no. You know, Jonathan's feeling is that, you know, anyone who has Wi-Fi is basically living a sort of Keith Richards style existence.
Well, you know. Oh, I mean, it's that rock and roll Wi-Fi lifestyle.
That's it, yeah. Jonathan. You know we're trying to laugh with you, not at you, right?
I don't care whether you do.
No, Jonathan. Really, don't get defensive. I'm trying to make the point that I cannot express enough. You're not looking for approval. You're not looking for people to think you're amazing or anything like that. But what we are having now is a chance where we can put aside the things that make us different from one another and have a laugh together. That's worth something, isn't it?
The fact that you think that I think you're laughing at me is hilarious because I really don't care what you think.
No, but you misconstrue. I was worried because Simon and I were laughing and I couldn't tell whether or not you were laughing. And it made me worry. But I'm saying it made me worry that you thought we were laughing at you, whereas actually we were part of a conversation where we were laughing. And because I was concerned that you might feel bullied or that you were being laughed at, I just wanted to make sure you knew that you weren't. But I'm not saying you should care one way or the other, or indeed am I accusing you of caring one way or another. I am just saying that we were trying to have a laugh together. That was all, that was all it was.
Sorry, Rufus, didn't mean to interrupt. I'm trying to sort of pick apart the man behind Jonathan and try and sort of find
Jonathan,
out.
There's a man behind you.
Oh, I picked him apart.
Yeah.
I did want to start by saying that I made a comment last night which I want to apologise for. Jonathan, if you did hear it.
I didn't.
It was all in the spirit of fun, anyway. I don't want you to think that I...
Were you on before me last night or after me?
After you.
Listening, so it didn't bother me. No skin off my nose. What you say about me behind closed doors is of little interest to me.
Broadcasting nationally is not traditionally referred to as behind closed doors, Jonathan.
No.
I think that's why Simon's apologising, is if he turned to the person next to him last night and said, oh, blooming Jonathan's a right old chump or whatever, then he probably wouldn't apologise for that. It was that he was, he's on our knockabout radio show, he made a joke at your expense and he's saying sorry for that. That's pretty, this is exactly the kind of stuff we need to be doing, isn't it?
I don't care that he made some comment when I wasn't listening. But
no, okay.
Me.
I'm not saying you should... Right, Jonathan. I'm not saying you should care one way or another. What I'm saying is, if people are mean to each other, and then the opportunity comes up to apologise for, you know, when they feel that maybe they crossed their own boundary, and they apologise for that, that's big stuff, right? That's something to take gracefully.
Well, if he regrets doing something, then I don't hold it against him. I didn't hear him. Why? I mean, if I didn't hear it and I don't care, then there's no problem.
No, fine. There was no problem. But the fact that he would feel, a desire to apologise to you is something where you could just go, for example, mate, I didn't hear it, it didn't bother me, but, you know, if you feel like apologising to me, that's very kind. Thank you, for example. You might not want to phrase it in exactly those terms, but unless we all start trying to find the people who we don't agree with and do try and find common ground and reach out and to be friends, you're going to end up feeling very scared and alone. And when we feel scared and alone, we start trying to look for stuff that backs up that we're right to be that scared and we're right to feel that alone. But actually, once we start feeling connected to one another and kindly towards one another, maybe some of that fear dissipates and we're able to move forwards together, which is what we've got to start doing, right?
Mm.
Jonathan?
I have very little in common with some people in the world.
Yes, we all have very little in common with most people in the world.
So I personally, we are way past the point of civility and compromise. Events have been set in motion. We're heading for a big crunch.
But do you know what? I think that makes that's an excuse, Jonathan. That's an excuse. It's all out of your hands. You can't do anything about it. I think that's an excuse.
I'm going to say this. There are people out there who want to kill me, who want to ruin me because I don't share their delusion, and I cannot coexist with them in a shared society.
Right.
Why on earth would you say something like that? Do you honestly believe that, Jonathan?
I'm tired of compromising with people who are acting in bad faith.
All right. Let's take that as a statement of fact. You're tired of compromising with people acting in bad faith. Not Simon or I are trying to do that. We're not acting in bad faith because we have no investment. We're not trying to accomplish anything other than create a moment where, as three men and one woman, we are able to have a laugh together and be kindly towards one another. So can we not park all of the things that make us scared and that we acknowledge make us different from one another and focus on some of the things that make us the same?
Well, we're not the same. We're all different.
Yeah.
We are all unique.
Yes, that's true. But we are...
I don't want to be homogenised.
No, but who we are... No, Simon... sorry, Jonathan. Who we are is made up of a spectrum of things. For example, earlier, I felt a bit hungry. Jonathan, earlier, did you feel a bit hungry?
No, surprisingly.
No?
I usually am. I've got a ravenous appetite.
So do usually. I. Quite often, I don't eat all day, and then I get to the point where I can eat, and I just go mad. Somebody described going for a meal like me as watching an episode of Man vs. Food. So, I have that. I have a ravenous appetite on occasion. Simon?
Oh, yeah. If you saw the size of me, you'd know that I do have a ravenous appetite all the time.
Jonathan, what's your... When you're with your ravenous appetite, what's your favourite thing to eat?
Meat.
Okay. Barbecued? Roasted? What's your... Well, the favourite meat? I mean, let's... Three men having a conversation about meat. And don't get me wrong, I know Kath's no stranger.
Oh, I love a bit of meat.
Yeah.
I like...
Oh, the switchboard's lit up.
I like pork, I like chicken, I like beef. Not too fussed on ham.
No.
Turkey.
What's your favourite way to have pork?
Bacon.
Yeah, you can't fault bacon. The number of vegetarians I know, it was bacon that broke them.
Tell you what I draw the line at, though. Pork belly. I will not eat a nipple.
yeah, pull that out for the trailer tomorrow. Simon, we're going to dip you slightly in the mix, because I think you're... Are you at a railway station?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm working. I've just had a job come in, so I've got to go and do it. So I'm driving basically, but I'm on hands free.
Oh, fair enough. We were picking up what appeared to be you under a freight train. Which I sincerely hope isn't the case.
I'm in the back of a meat truck, actually.
he's going to be sending a bit of something your way, Jonathan. No, he's picking out the butchery.
Before I go, can I just ask Jonathan two questions?
Go on.
Right. Jonathan... Jonathan?
Is that the first question?
Go on.
You listening, Jonathan?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm waiting for you.
Okay, right. give me an honest and straight answer to the question.
Oh, that's upsetting. We're on tenterhooks. Simon, I think he's gone. Jonathan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Simon, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, lovely. It all went a bit technically wrong there. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Simon?
Yeah?
This job you're on, can it wait two minutes? If we come back to you in 2 minutes, is that all right?
I'm already about 15 minutes late.
Okay. All right, well, let's crash on then. But we're going to have to be quick because we've got to take some ads.
Okay. Right. Jonathan?
Go on.
Do you have a friend, someone that you see regularly?
Yeah, I do. I have plenty of them. I drive them up the wall.
Okay, right. Well, that's fine. Because I was going to say to you, if I was to offer to meet you for a coffee and put the world to rights, what would you say to that?
I don't know you.
No, I know that.
Yeah, but the only way that we will get to know each other is...
I would go and see Rupert. I don't know him, and from what I know of him, I don't particularly like him.
That's all right. There are loads of people who do know me who feel exactly the same way. It's because I'm a human being and I'm flawed, Jonathan. All right, well, look, so Simon...
Is your answer no, then, Jonathan, is it?
I consider meeting Ian Lee, but that would be a bit risky because he might flounce off in a huff.
He may well do. Look, Simon.
Yes, Rupert.
I'm very aware that we are making you late for work and that we have to go to an ad break. Can I just say, sir, you have my undying respect. You took my request for a kindly operation and ran with it further than I would ever have hoped. So thank you for ringing in. Feel free to call back at any time.
Thank you. My pleasure. See you later, guys.
Cheers, Simon.
Bye.
We'll be back after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Jonathan, you're still with us?
Yep.
Simon's had to go.
Yeah, I know.
So, we're sorry about that, but, you know, he was phoning us in a gap he had at work, so it was good of him to do that. But you've just got us back now.
I go on some of the Facebook talk radio groups.
Yeah.
And I have to say that some of the people on those groups haven't got two brain cells to rub together.
Jonathan, I'm going to stop you there. You know what you just did, don't you?
Yeah, I insulted the listeners.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, people, when they disagree with you, and this is the problem with the internet age, you see, is that when people hear something they don't agree with, nobody finds the grey area. Nobody says, oh, well, you know, maybe it didn't quite mean it like that, or maybe I just don't agree with that point of view. Everyone wants to get very cross and very riled up, and they want to make a point of saying, I reject those opinions because I favour these other opinions. But all of the time that you fight back like that, you're not going to create a world in which people can be kind to you. And I would ask you this question. Why are you so hurt?
I'm hurt by the liars and the hypocrites and the idiocy that I see around me.
So am I.
We have a bunch of people on this planet who are the most selfish, hypocritical, nastiest pieces of work imaginable.
Yes.
And they have the gall to present themselves as virtuous. Whereas people like me, who don't pretend to be saints, but we speak our minds, when we see truth, we enunciate it.
Yeah.
We're the bad guys.
Right.
I just find that infuriating.
Okay. The problem that you face, okay, is that the truth as you see it is not the truth as other people see it. So when you say that what you believe or what you think is the truth, all you're ever going to do is find people who want to shout you down. You've got to own those opinions. You can't necessarily claim something as true. I'm sure it is. Listen, I'm sure you get all sorts of... I'm sure you get all sorts of shoddy treatment.
Me, I'm talking about people in general. It goes well beyond... If you want to have an argument, that's fine with me.
Jonathan. I genuinely want the opposite of it. But the trouble is that the conversation I would like to have with you can't be had for as long as you are looking to have an argument.
I think arguments can be very useful sometimes.
No, they can, but I just don't want to have one.
The problem is there is a lack of argument.
Yes.
Because there are certain people who will not countenance any sort of argument, and if you go against them, they will either try and have you socially ostracized or put in prison or executed. They will do everything they can to make you an unperson. And I look at these people, I think, well, if you people are right, Why are you so afraid of backing up your stance? Why do you need to shut down everyone?
Yeah, okay, listen, Jonathan, I agree with a huge amount of what you say. That is the common ground we have. The hills that we speak from, the soapboxes that you and I are on politically, obviously don't have a huge amount of overlap. But the ideas, as you have just espoused them, I would largely agree with.
Really, let me give you an example.
Okay, of the thing that we both already agree on.
I don't agree with people like David Irving. I think they have an axe to grind. That they are not trustworthy. But I wouldn't try and put him in prison for espousing his beliefs. I would want to debate him. I would want to hold him to account. I would want to say, well, what about this? And what about that?
Yeah.
Not because I think I'm going to change his mind, but because I think people, we should trust them enough to make their own choices. Because I believe most people would agree with my assessment and not David Irving's.
Okay.
But by trying to put Irving in jail, shut him up, and all this, you're making him a martyr, and you're making him an underground cult figure.
I completely agree.
And that is scary.
I agree.
I would rather have this guy out in the open, free to espouse whatever he believes, so that we can challenge him, keep an eye on him if he does go rogue, prove to people, look, we are different from them, because in our society, people who disagree with us can say what they like, and we can have a debate, and people can make up their own minds. But in his society, he would not let us disagree with him and criticize him. He would put us in gas chambers and death camps.
Jonathan, you got yourself quite worked up, love.
Well, I do get worked up.
But there's no need. You're talking... Jonathan, you're talking to someone who agrees with you, right? Jonathan.
I'm not talking about you in particular.
Take a deep breath, right? We are trying to have a conversation that doesn't need anyone to get het up, right? You said
I'm
some.
I'm just naturally boisterous.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. We are all a bit like what we're like, and often that is maybe sometimes not the way that other people would like us to be. You can't apologise all the time for who you are. But on this specific occasion, we have no interest in dwelling on the things about which we disagree. On this particular instance, I am entirely with you. We should have a world in which everyone is free to say what they like, but not a world in which they are protected from other people disagreeing with them or holding them to account for the things that they say. I completely agree with you. But let's not dwell on those things that make us different. Let's dwell on the things that make us the same. Now, whether you... we know you don't have internet at home and that you're not a big fan of mobile phones, but we have been reaching out to the listeners and we have been asking people who would like a word with Jonathan to be kind, to be nice, to be friendly. And so people are now phoning in, Jonathan, to speak to you. What I'm going to ask you, Jonathan, is this. Do you think you could meet these people halfway and not focus on there are these other people who hate you or these other people who disagree with you or these other people that want to shout you down? Could you make some small concessions in order to have friendly, light-hearted, joyful conversations with the people who have chosen to ring in to speak to you? Is that something that you would feel able to do?
I'm always willing to hear people out.
Yeah, but this is the thing, Jonathan. You're not hearing them out, because that says, you say what you say, and then I'm going to come back with the thing I want to say, because I'm going to hear you out. You don't have to hear them out. Just listen to them and join in. Is that all right? People aren't phoning in. Listen, people aren't phoning in to have a go at you. They're phoning in to have a chat with you. All right? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
If anyone's mean or horrible, Jonathan, I'm going to cut them off. But that is not why people are...
No, don't cut them off.
Okay.
I don't want to say
no,
space.
No.
I'm sick of these snowflakes.
I'm not offering... No, no, Jonathan, you misunderstand. I'm not offering you a safe space. I am saying what I want this conversation to be is a conversation in which people are nice to each other. I'm not saying you require a safe space. I am saying that I want this conversation, as the host of this show, to be nice. All right? But what that requires, Jonathan, is for you to come to the conversation ready to be nice.
Fine.
Okay. Jonathan, I want you just to take two deep breaths. Two properly deep breaths, right? Right to the bottom of your lungs. Feel your chest expand. Do it with me. I do it all the time. It makes me feel unutterably better. Ready? Really fill it in. Really feel the whole of your tummy fill up with air and a slow breath out. Feel the shoulders droop a bit. Feel yourself get nice and relaxed. Once more in, once more out. Barry, you're in Western Supermare. How are you?
I'm very relaxed, Rufus, I must say. After 15 years of meditation classes and trying to practice mindfulness, that was a very, very good introduction. I'd like to say hello to Jonathan.
Hello.
Hello, Jonathan. I've listened to you for a long time, actually. I do call in quite regularly to Ian. You said you'd like to meet Ian. It would be interesting. Can I say I have met Ian and Catherine. They're very, very nice people. And I think you'd find it a great pleasure. Could I just say to you, Jonathan, that I'm agreeing with you. It doesn't have to be about arguments. Discussions, we share different opinions. From what little bit's been said tonight and from what I've heard from you in the past, I probably think we come from maybe probably opposite sides of the political spectrum, but we could talk about that. In terms of my lifestyle, I've been a vegetarian for many, many years. I'm not a campaigning vegetarian. I'm quite comfortable with my vegetarianism, but you know, I wouldn't wish to force it onto you. But I would like to extend an invitation to you, Jonathan. You're in Swansea, I believe. I'm in Weston-super-Mare, and I'd like to meet up a venue at Glastonbury, which is a bit of an alternative society. I've been going there for about 20 years, and it reflects all sorts of shades of the social fabric, and I've learned a great deal from it, and I think it would be a nice venue for you and I to have a nice little discussion about our experiences, life experiences, and our political opinions. How would you feel about that?
I don't think that's practical for me. Don't take this the wrong way. It's nothing to do with you. It's just not practical for me. And I'm not too fond of Glastonbury. Too muddy and too many hippies.
Well, I'm thinking about the town. The festival is a different thing, Jonathan. I probably agree with you. There's a lot of people. I do love I love the outdoors. I love camping, but you know, I don't like to be around too many people. And festivals, obviously, I'm a bit old for festivals now at 74. But I mean, yeah, the young ones love the festival. But no, I'm thinking about the town. It's just, I mean, we could actually have a nice little walk up to the top of Glastonbury Tor. Have a friendly chat, talk about your life, I'll talk to you about mine, and, you know, see where we go from there.
Well, it was a nice suggestion and a nice walk.
Fine, well, that's okay, Jonathan, you know, if it's not a problem. Can I say that, having listened to you for a long time, I actually did say to Rufus last night, I sort of enjoy listening to you because I find that it keeps me sharp and it keeps me on my toes. Now, I'm a little bit of a class warrior from the past, but, you know, I've mellowed quite a lot now, and I've realised that, you know, it's talking and it's compromise, and some of these sort of extremes can be brought together a little bit, Jonathan. Would you agree on that?
In, let's say, 10 or 20 years' time, I would agree with you. But right now, we're in the end of the current millennial era. And at the end of every major era ends in a major war. And the reason for that is polarization is too great to surmount. And when that happens, people tend to fight it out over their differences. That's just human nature.
Yeah, but hang on.
In 20 years' time, it will be possible again, because we will have got past the ugliness of our present time.
But, Jonathan, there's a couple of things there. One is that the nature of modern warfare means if we go to war as nation states, we could well create a nuclear winter which wipes out certainly 99.9% of life on Earth, so we should try and avoid it for those reasons. And secondly, war is not something to be aiming for in the hope of what happens after war, is it? If all I'm saying is, if we can avert war by having learned the lessons of the past, by instead learning how to reach out to one another and be decent towards one another and reconcile our differences diplomatically, by recognising our fraternity, that's a better way of doing it, right? Than gulags or battlefields?
I don't think we're going to have any sort of nuclear conflict in the next 80 years. The wars I'm talking about are mainly civil wars on a global scale. They're all connected by one theme, which is the populace against the elite.
Sure. All right, look, let's put a pin in that for a moment. Barry?
Yes, Rufus.
Thank you, sir, for phoning in. We're going to take some adverts. We've got other people who would like to speak to Jonathan, and we'll be hearing from at least one of those before midnight after these commercial messages.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hi there. We're trying to be nice to Jonathan from Swansea. It's sort of working. Do you feel people are being nice to you, Jonathan?
I don't care. I'm hoping that Roger from Doncaster will ring in.
Why is that?
He's always got a lot to say about me, and I just want to hear him say it for himself.
I've never heard Roger from Doncaster on this show.
Oh, he listens in. He's already tweeting about it right now.
All right. Well, Roger in Doncaster, if you're there, by all means do. People have also been in contact, Jonathan. asking about you and who we're talking to. So we're sort of examining some of the other stuff that you've put out online. It's interesting, isn't it? Because for somebody who hasn't got the internet, you have used the internet quite a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Amanda makes do.
So I suppose this is my thing. If you use the internet as much as you have to say things that you know are going to really, really upset people, you can't be too surprised when you get the same sort of, well, the same and frankly, often far less violence back, right?
No, that's you've got the wrong end of the stick there.
Have I?
Someone says something stupid or patently false or ridiculous. I challenge that. They get into a hissy fit. I call them out on them having a hissy fit. They completely lose the plot. And then they go after me. And then I'm going, well, if you come after me, I'm going to have to slap you down.
Sure, but what about saying that those people must be killed?
Well, unfortunately, we are past the point now where we can negotiate with these people, because negotiation to these people is people like me, you have to give in and compromise and give us what we want, or you're a bad person. I'm saying no, enough's enough. And most people are saying no, enough's enough. That's why they're electing Donald Trump, because Donald Trump doesn't care for emotional blackmail.
What does he care for?
Ultimately, Donald Trump is a businessman, so he cares about what's good for Donald Trump. But that doesn't mean he's an enemy of the rest of us. He's an enemy of certain vested interests, mainly his business rivals. But Trump doesn't mean me any bad intention.
Well, no, but I mean, in fairness, he's the president. He's the president of the United States of America, and you live in Swansea. So, I mean, he's what the decisions he makes.
His influence is like a ripple in the ocean.
Well, I would think that is undoubtedly true. But I mean, all I mean is, it's not like he's sticking up for the little guy, is it?
I think he's done a lot more to stick up for the little guy than most of the so-called champions of the people and all these socialists.
Such as?
Emily Thornberry.
No. Sorry, you misunderstand. Not name people who you don't like. What has Donald Trump done to help the little guy?
He's told people that they are no longer at the mercy of government, that they
telling people something isn't helping them. What has he done to help the little guy?
He has told them that, well, I'm not going to obey a shrill media and a certain...
You're changing... Jonathan, you're changing the subject. I'm asking you, what has he done that has actually helped people? Because I would say that the thing that would help people is to, you know, give them healthcare, or to, you know, create a way of lifting them out of poverty. Those would be the things that most people would ascribe as being helpful.
Well, he is lifting people out of poverty. He is trying to reform the tax system. He is trying to create economic opportunity. He's trying to bring the businesses back from overseas. He's trying to clamp down on corruption and red tape. He is trying to...
All right, I'm going to just take the first three you've said, all right? So, tax breaks. What do those tax breaks actually transfer to mean for the bottom 25% of American society?
Means that they can afford more wages for their workers.
It doesn't. Not the bottom 25% of society, because they don't have workers. They are the workers. So, that's what I'm asking you.
It helps.
It's,
by cutting taxes and letting people keep more of their own money, they're more likely to invest, and this
That's absolutely not how it works. Because those people at the very bottom don't invest. They haven't got spare money to invest. So that okay. So he's not helping the little guy then. If he's not helping people at the bottom, you just said he's not helping the people at the bottom.
By creating opportunities at the top, he is automatically creating opportunities at the bottom.
No, but there isn't. No, Jonathan, there isn't an economist.
It is a win-win.
There isn't an economist in the world who says trickle-down economics works.
It does work.
It does. No, Jonathan, forgive me. Forgive me, but there is not a serious economist in the world who says that trickle-down economics works. There isn't one.
And I say that economists are the modern-day equivalent of witch doctors. They're actually idiotic and charlatans.
Okay, but Jonathan, do you see then that what you're offering is there is expertise, there are people who can look at models, offer facts and things that we can look at so that we have a better understanding of the world, and you are disregarding what those people have spent their life's work doing and saying, but what I believe is, and that's why you've got such a skewed vision of the world.
Well, it's not my fault that I dedicated my life to a pseudoscience like economics.
I've just said about there isn't a serious economist in the world who believes trickle-down economics works, and you're saying you have given your life to the study of economics.
I know what works and what doesn't work.
Are you an economist?
Because I have practical experience.
In what field?
In real life.
No, in what field? You can't just say real life. No, that doesn't mean anything.
It is.
It doesn't mean anything.
You have to learn how to balance your household finances. You have to budget.
Yes.
You have to make provision. You have to think ahead.
Jonathan, again, any economist you speak to says that whenever anybody gives the example of a national economy being like household economics, home economics, they have already started from the wrong place because they're not the same thing at all. And that's both right-wing and left-wing economists that say that.
Economists are charlatans.
Right,
that's
but Jonathan, are you catching yourself here at all? Because you're going round and round. On the one hand, you're saying you do understand economics, and on the other hand, all economists should be dismissed.
I understand economics. Economists don't. They read about economics. I understand economics.
But Jonathan, right? We're gonna have to take a break here. I might keep you on. I might just keep talking to you. Is that all right with you?
Whatever you want, it's Ian's show, but you're standing in for him.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Listening to Talk Radio's Jonathan from Swansea special. You're still with us, Jonathan?
I'm still here.
I wanted to talk to you about some of the things that you've said this week and try and reconcile. I don't know. It feels to me that whenever we end up talking, you want to talk about the external world, and I'm frankly, by this point, only really interested in your internal world. Is that all right?
Oh, that's fine.
Lovely, smashing. Because you said to me the other night, killing under all circumstances is abhorrent. There are no circumstances under which killing people is okay.
Yeah.
The problem is that on the internet, you've said entirely the opposite on occasion.
There's no contradiction. Sometimes, unfortunately, it is necessary, but it is still not moral. It's still not the right thing to do.
But don't But if you say that on the radio with us, but you advocate that there should be killing, for example, let me have a look. If you say something like, the wages of sin are death, people, if you won't accept help, you must be sectioned, caged or eliminated. Assassinate Trudeau. Disposing of him is not murder, thus there would be no need to feel guilty over its demise. These are all things you have tweeted.
I see you've been in communication with far-left terrorists.
No, I have been in communication with no one. I Googled you because on my Twitter, when I was saying, we're going to try and be nice to this guy, people said, how can you be nice to him? And all I am quoting here is simply tweets that you have written.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, when we spoke for the first time on Monday, you said, under no circumstances is killing okay, but you have tweeted, all those who oppose Donald Trump must be killed. Smash the left, smash Antifa, smash Islam, and, you know, things like that. So,
yeah,
can you see that there is a contradiction there?
It may seem like it, but there isn't.
All those who oppose Donald Trump must be killed. And then you say to me on Monday, there are no circumstances under which killing is permissible.
I said it was not moral.
You didn't say it was necessary. You didn't say that. You said there were no circumstances under which killing was okay.
Killing was wrong and not okay.
But all those who oppose Donald Trump must be killed.
Pardon?
But all those who oppose Donald Trump, for example, must be killed.
Because they are a threat to decent, ordinary people. It's not that it's right, it's that it's necessary. I wish it wasn't necessary. I really do.
It's not necessary.
Unfortunately, it seems that it is going to be necessary.
No, it seems. It seems.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. No, to most people.
No, not to most people. You're completely wrong about that.
No.
Okay, no. Jonathan, one second. Kyle in Rochdale. Phoned in ages ago because he wanted to speak to you. Kyle, I've got a feeling we may have moved away from the original purpose of this, which was to be nice to Jonathan, but just out of interest, does it seem necessary to you that we kill anyone who opposes Donald Trump?
Well, no, I don't think that. I mean, I personally don't like the man. However, you know, and I'm addressing this to Jonathan, not necessarily you, Rufus. But Jonathan, what happens if people have a different point of view? What happens if people, you know, in their minds think that perhaps Donald Trump should be the one that's killed? What do you say to them?
Well, the left have made it very clear that they want to kill Donald Trump.
Right. So I'm sorry, I feel really pedantic. When you said the left have made it really clear, what evidence have you got for it?
The scores and scores of tweets and Facebook messages.
Sorry, tweet,
calling for Trump to be assassinated.
Look, just Kyle, I know what you're getting at. I would say that there are certainly I've seen plenty of people saying they would love to kill Donald Trump. So, I mean, we can pretend that that's not the case, but I've definitely seen lots of people saying that they would wish Donald Trump dead.
I'm a bit confused by this, though, Jonathan, because about an hour ago you were talking to me about how you defended people's rights to say things that you disagreed with.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it seems that the door doesn't swing both ways. And if you're dealing with an enemy that lacks the same standards and honours that you do,
you're under no obligation to be honourable and decent with them. If they,
but then they're not your values, Jonathan. If you don't stick to your values when times are tough, they are not your values.
They are your values.
No, your values are defined by what you do during the tough times.
Our values and our sense of honour have been weaponized against us. And ultimately, I want to fight the good fight, but fighting the good fight and losing is still losing. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to advocate and do things that we would rather not do.
What do you define as losing?
I define losing as a world where people are frightened to say anything in case it deviates from what is considered popular in society. I fear that we're going to live in a society where sexual deviancy of all kinds is rampant, and that if you try to impose standards, that you are criminalised for having standards.
This is some contorted logic. Because people aren't criminalised for having standards. It's just No, they're not, Jonathan.
They are criminal. I'm telling you now, and this is a prediction. In a few short years' time, it will be a criminal offence to criticise paedophilia. I'm absolutely serious about it. People will be sent to prison for paedophobia.
Okay. Jonathan, you've tipped the balance, old son. You're mental.
Living in an insane world.
No, Jonathan, you are living in an insane world. It's a world of your own creation. And look, the God's honest truth is this: the only possible explanation for you being able to make any of what you're saying make sense is that some horrible thing must have happened to you.
Horrible things happen to all of us.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about anyone else.
Some people just don't realise it.
Jonathan, something horrible must have happened to you. For you to see the world in these bleak and black and white and angry terms, where all of the kindness that you've been shown by people is only ever been met with argument, I think for your brain to do what it's doing, I think you must have had something truly awful happen to you.
Well, I haven't had it as hard as most people on the planet.
I'm not talking about most people on the planet. I'm talking about you. So don't stop bringing other people in. You. I think you must have gone through something awful.
Well, we all go through awful things. That's life.
Yes, we do.
The universe doesn't care.
No, the universe is a cold and unfeeling place.
It only makes sense when you force it to.
Yeah, well, again, it's a tricky balance, that. Because cause and effect makes sense. The reason that things happen, you can normally trace back to a reason. But you can't just throw everything in the blender of random awfulness is going to happen, therefore none of it matters, therefore what? That's nihilism. And if all you have is nihilism, then you are aiming for nothing. You will achieve nothing. You have no skin in the game. You are alive, and you have potential. How do you want to use that potential? And what I'm saying to you is, for you to see the world in this way means that your machinery, your processor, has broken. So what is it that happened to you that has made you this sad and lonely and angry?
Seeing injustice in the world.
Sure, seeing injustice. I see injustice around me. It makes me sad and angry too. But that doesn't explain why I see the world that way. That just means those are the things I see in the world. I'm asking you why you see the world as being this awful. Because the only answer is something truly awful must have happened to you.
It happened to all of us. It's called postmodernism.
Well, Jonathan, I think your world is always going to be awful. I think if you got everything that you're asking for out of the world, out of whatever you see in Trump that you admire, or some of the...
I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for others.
Sure, but listen, Jonathan.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, okay. Do you know people who say that? It doesn't matter what I want. Do you know who says that? People who don't believe themselves to have any value at all.
We do have value.
We, as a people, have value. But the person who says it doesn't matter what I want doesn't hold themselves in very high regard.
That's a lack of ego.
Sure. I mean, and it could be even viewed as stoic. But the point is, Jonathan, every time we try and talk about Jonathan, there's a thousand things that come up that aren't talking about Jonathan. You have phoned this show every night I've been on. On Tuesday, you were calling in at 10, and you held on till 1 o'clock in the morning when we went off air and we didn't speak to you. At no stage did we give any indication we would speak to you, but you held on. And it seems to me...
It shows how dogged I am.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. Dogged, undoubtedly. Absolutely. I have no... Looking at, what, you know, your Twitter feed and those things like that, some of the videos that you've put up, I have no doubt about your dogged nature. And I also have no doubt that once you express an opinion and the police get involved and other people pile in on telling you what an awful person you are, you only have two options. One of which is to accept that maybe they've got a point, and the other option is to say, no, I reject your diagnosis of me. I will not stand for it. I was right and you were all wrong. And I absolutely can accept that both roads, at the point they present themselves to you, feel equally valid. And you've gone down this one road further and further, ever further, where your only recourse to the world is to be so angry and so full of hate. And the only people that I have ever met who are like that have all got one thing in common. You say we're all different, but the people who behave in that way are all very much the same. And they are people who, at an early stage, had horrible times, where what they were taught about the world is that it is horrible. And it isn't. And it doesn't have to be. There are horrible things in the world. You're right, we live in a cold, uncaring universe. The things we do today in a universal scale make no difference at all. We agree on that. But life is all there is. All we've got is what is here and what is now. So which direction do we want to be facing? Do we want to be arm in arm with one another, moving forward, trying to make things better for all of us? Or do we want to adopt a philosophy that says, there are people at the top, there will always be monsters, so let the monsters be monsters? That can't be how we do this, Jonathan. It can't be.
I never said let the monsters be not monsters.
Well, okay.
Fight the monsters.
Kill the monsters. How do we...
You have to.
Yeah, I agree. I think in some respects, you have to kill your monsters. But I think that the monster you've got to start by killing, mate, is whatever it is that is burrowing its way through your heart. I don't know anyone who is capable of feeling any kind of happiness who is as angry with the world as you are.
I accepted long ago that I was monstrous. And that's what gives me a unique insight into the monsters of the world.
But if you're monstrous and we should kill the monsters, where does that lead us?
A better world. You know what?
what happens to me, I'm just passing through this life. But what I leave behind,
nihilism.
That is my legacy.
Jonathan.
And I would like to leave behind
nihilism.
A world that
Jonathan.
Is better than the one that I entered into.
Nihilism. The philosophy that you are espousing takes everything out. That's all you've got. Burn it all down.
Unfortunately, you do have to burn it all down sometimes.
No, you don't. Jonathan, you don't.
I'd rather not, but unfortunately,
right. Okay.
It's
you
an
would,
option.
You would rather not. I would rather not. So let's start with, we would rather not. Rather than, but we're going to have to. There's no but there. I would rather not. So. Not but. So. So. What we're going to do is, what we're going to aim for is, the direction we're going to go is, you have accepted that it will all need to be torn down. And we need to get rid of that idea. It's killing us. It's killing our brothers and our sisters.
We need to tear down the current system, all of it.
We need to... I could totally buy into a root and branch change of the way that we do most things in this country.
But the system I'm talking about is very different from the one that you're talking about. We are... And that is why it's...
But what I'm saying to you, Jonathan, is that the reason that you want the system that you want is because you think the world is poisonous.
It is poisonous.
Right, so let's make it not poisonous. But the way that we do that isn't by poisoning everything. The reason, it, you know, it, the poison will kill everything. So we need to get rid of the poison. But what you're saying is poison everything all the more. Kill everything. If you kill everything, there's nothing left to be poisoned. The only thing there is life. The only thing there is each other. The only thing that is has any value in this cold, unfeeling universe is humankind.
Well, that's a bit speciesist.
All right, life. The only thing there is life. That's what I started by saying. You have to love life because it's all there is. Nihilism isn't going to get us anywhere. And I know, man, because I am drawn to nihilism like a moth to a flame. I want to believe none of it's worth anything. I really want to. And it is a struggle to see that there is a bigger picture that has value, that we've got to try harder, that we can't just give in to our little monkey-brained instincts of kill it, stab it, run away. It is harder to work together. It is harder to put your differences aside. But unless we do that, mate, we're toast.
Well, as I said earlier, I am not prepared to compromise with those who act in bad faith. And
I am telling you that the reason you feel that way is because there is something in you that is profoundly broken. And there are plenty of people who would actively try and help you fix that. But all the time that you refuse to see it or refuse to try and heal the thing in you that hurts as much as it hurts, these conversations are just going to go round and round in circles. So, Jonathan, tonight we have spent about 2 hours in each other's company. Regular listeners have reached out and tried all sorts. This will be the last time we speak, Jonathan. You can phone in every night if you would like. It's not that I'm afraid of the debate, but it is simply that until you are prepared to accept that the reason the world seems so dark is that you've got your blinds drawn, then there's no point in us speaking, because we're not having conversations. We're just having moments where you shout about things and everyone rolls their eyes, even people who are prepared to be your friend. So thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So this fella, he's a travelling salesman, right? And he's only got an hour for lunch, but he's going to go and play golf. So he, you know, gets his bag out and everything, sticks his ball down on the first tee, whacks the ball, and he's, you know, he's a travelling salesman. He's used to not having very long to get round. So he sort of jogs up to the next ball, and he looks off, and there on the second tee is this beautiful woman. And he thinks, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll play through this hole pretty quick. Maybe I'll catch her up. She's playing on her own. I'll suggest that maybe we play the round together, and who knows, maybe love will blossom. So he hits the next shot pretty quick, little tap in on the putt, jogs over to the second tee. She's already on the third tee. Thinks, blimey, she's playing quickly. Ball down, gives it a smack, little jog up to the ball, tap, tap, in it goes. Looks up, she's already on the fourth tee. It's like, blimey, she's playing quickly. Anyway, you can imagine where this is going. By the end of it, by the time he gets to the 17th tee, he doesn't even stop. The ball's down, he's swinging the club round his head, he smacks his arm, he's running after the ball, doesn't he? He just kicks it along, he's tapping it around, desperately trying to catch up. By the time he gets to the 18th tee, she's already in the clubhouse. Well, he's gone round 18 holes in 45 minutes. He's sweating, he's out of breath, he hasn't even kept a scorecard. Total waste of his time. Can't believe it. Gets in, has a shower, goes to the bar for a quick drink. And there's a lady sat there, working away on her laptop. He walks over, he says, I hope you don't mind me interrupting. He says, I've got to tell you, I'm so impressed. He said, I've been playing golf all my life, and I couldn't have played quicker than I did today. You barely broke a sweat every time I looked up. You were off. You played so quickly. She says, well, yeah, funny enough, I'm a travelling salesperson too. I've got used to playing golf very quickly. I often don't have very much time. So, yeah, I didn't even see her. I wasn't looking backwards. If I'd have seen you, I'd have slowed down. But, yeah, I just play very quickly. He says, oh, well, so we've got something in common then, the old travelling salesperson thing. What do you sell? She says, I sell tampons. He says, bugger me, I sell toilet roll. I'm still a hole behind.
Oh, my God.
Just, we started the show, you see, by telling pub jokes to one another. And I just thought after 2 hours of really genuinely trying to help somebody, something that soul-lowering might be just a little palate cleanser.
I mean, that's the muckiest palate cleanser I've ever had. It's a taste in my mouth, yeah. And it ain't strawberry.
No, what's green and brown and tells you you're looking older? Your nan dressed as a tree. I just felt we needed to shift gear a little bit. Lewis, you're in the London area.
TV on the radio.
TV on the radio. TV on the radio. On the radio!
What you watching, Lewis?
I got the Xbox on.
So you're going to describe a video game and we're going to try and pin what video game it is you're playing.
Okay. There's Nuclear Fallout.
Is it Fallout 4?
Yeah.
It was the phrase nuclear fallout that was the clue on that one, Lewis.
There's a good joke in it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, inappropriate for the airwaves, is it? I'll trust you.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Let's see if I can get this right. There are two cannibals, and they're both eating the corpse of a clown. And one cannibal turns to the other and he says, does this taste funny to you?
Congratulations, because the last person who told me that joke was my 8-year-old son.
Yeah.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. Lewis. Any other jokes that are suitable for children that we can tell each other at 12:30 at night?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm not too good at
Oh, cat's rearing up.
Well, you said kids' jokes. This is one my daughter likes in particular. Why are Tigger's paws brown?
I don't know. Why are Tigger's paws brown?
Because he's been playing with poo. Horrible. There's a theme.
A polar bear walks into a pub and he says to the barman, I'll have a pint of lager. And the barman says, why the big paws? He says, because I'm a polar bear.
Boo, shakalak.
Oh, I think the idea of jokes is that we feel joy in telling them, but I think we're at the point where we're telling them almost like a war of attrition.
It's like anxiety, isn't it, when you're waiting for that punchline to come up over the hill.
Yeah. Celine Dion walks into a bar and the barman says, "Why the long face?" Lewis, was there any... was there anything else you had to bring to our table this evening?
What was Whitney Houston's favourite kind of coordination?
I don't know. What was Whitney Houston's favourite kind of coordination?
Hand
I got one.
Right? Go.
Yeah. A horse walks into a bar. The barman goes, "Why the long face?" The horse, not understanding English, proceeds to poo all over the place.
A white horse walks into a pub, and the barman says, "That's funny, we've got a whiskey named after you." And the horse says, "What, Derek?" Not as good. Lewis, thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for joining in on Xbox on the Radio.
On the radio!
Kyle, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry it took a bit of a dark turn early.
Well, it's all right. You know, it did. But we're just steering our ship away now from those rocks. We erected a lighthouse, and then we took our own light and plotted a course in the opposite direction.
You've turned the ship around, and can I say, I did have one joke, which is a pub joke. And also, I wondered whether you wanted to play Easy Poker.
Easy Poker?
Which Catherine will explain the rules to.
All right.
If you wish to do it.
Yeah, but I don't really understand how easy comes into it.
Do you want to play overly complicated poker?
It's just name as many things with easy in the title, right?
Yeah.
All right.
For example...
Well, you're going to burn through one.
Go on, Kyle.
Well, I was going to say, it's up to you. Do you want the pub joke first or do you want me to do the poker? Because I'm quite proud of the pub joke.
I've just realised the problem with the poker is that this isn't your first game. So you've got a database of easy references in your head.
Not easy, it's just generally other things poker. So, like, locks or...
I see, and we just go backwards and forwards until I'm with you.
Station was one the other week.
Yeah.
Okay. Train.
No. Station, so it'll go station... stationary. Or... what was another one? I can't remember. PlayStation. Something with station in it.
So it's got to be a word.
Mm-hmm.
Tube station.
But that's two words.
Well, that's allowed to.
Yeah.
So train.
It could be even St Pancras Station. I mean, we went through quite a lot.
Oh, I see.
It's just a stupid game, Rufus. Don't look for any cleverness
in it. No, all right. I apologise. I was like, right, okay, well, there's got to be something more complicated.
No.
It's basically name a thing.
Until you run out of things.
Name a thing until you run out of things, and then we'll add the word poker to it to make it sound sexier.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, do you know what? Now you've said it, Rufus. Sounds a bit silly.
Let's have your pub joke, and then maybe we'll play a round of name a thing until you can't name a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so two snowmen in a field, and one says to the other, "Can you smell carrots?"
Yeah, that's a joke.
Okay, I thought you were going to tell the joke about the snail. I thought you said snails in a field, not snowmen. And it's the joke about the snail that gets... the tortoise... that gets mugged by a snail. Do you know this one?
Mm.
Tortoise gets mugged by a snail, and the policeman takes a statement from him, and he says, "Right, so what do you remember?" And the tortoise says, "I don't know, it just all happened so fast."
There's another snail one, isn't there, where one gets lost over the fence, and like 5 days later there's a knock at the door.
Yeah. What'd you do that for?
Yes.
All right, Kyle, let's play a quick round of Name a Thing until you can't name a thing.
Anymore. If you want, the other thing is people can phone in and take a seat at the table at any point.
Oh, right.
So if they've thought of one.
Pablo.
Pablo might want to join us from the start.
Pablo's...
Are you in?
Pablo?
How do?
Right, so...
Just quickly, incoming Mr. Tumble and hello, Rupert. and Motley Stew, Dr. Veal's good.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Very good. I mean, you're so far ahead, it's not even worth commenting on, Pablo. Pablo, are you prepared to play a game of name a thing until you can't name a thing anymore?
Yes, but prepare to be disappointed.
Okay. Right, so you start us off then, Kyle.
Easy rider.
Okay. Easy jet.
Easy listening.
Oh.
Pablo, it's
easy for you. Does it?
Easy does it?
Are we allowing that one?
Oh, it's a well-known phrase with easy in.
Kyle.
Easy you like it.
Easy iron.
Easy lover.
Oh.
Easy squeezy. Oh, easy peasy, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle, it's you again.
Oh, God, I was thinking... easy jazz.
Easy jazz.
Really?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to Google the phrase easy jazz and see...
Because I don't think that's a thing.
No, the first thing that comes up is smooth jazz or easy listening, but not easy jazz.
I've gone. I apologise for wasting bossy times. I'm sorry, Pablo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. You are the weakest link.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
He named a thing until he couldn't name a thing anymore.
It's my turn now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Should we start a new topic?
No, we've got to go all
the
way.
Oh, I see, it's last man, all woman standing.
Exactly what it is, right.
Oh, crumbs.
Oh, man, I think I'm out.
I get a new producer in.
Yeah, that's it. I'm actually going to remove her from the building. I'm going to go with easy now.
Easy E?
Just thought of a really good one.
Oh.
Can I come back in?
No.
I don't think so.
No, that wouldn't be fair, but you could mouth yours to me. Oh, she's refusing. But I'm going to go with... I would have been out, I think, but Pablo, unless you can name one, then it's a draw.
I think I'll happily accept the draw on this occasion.
an honourable draw. Cav had Easy Tiger.
Yes, one of my favourites.
Or Careful Kitten, although it's not the same kind of thing, but Easy Tiger, Careful Kitten. Not appropriate for the game.
Lord Guardian Hawk tweeted Easy Tiger seconds before we revealed that. So, well done. Maybe you can play along on Twitter if you would like to. At Talk Radio. We'll be back after these commercial messages. Don't go anywhere, Pablo!
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, there's no end of people on Twitter now coming forward. Easy Woman. We could have had Speakeasy, Pablo. Easier. And then Sam, through the glass, suggested Sleazy. Which I guess would have counted because it would contain...
Compound. I'm talking about compound words. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, now it feels so ruddy obvious, doesn't it?
No, I'm kicking myself.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I literally just did as well.
I just caught that in the background, Pablo. Now, Pablo, did you ring in just to play Name a Thing until you can't name a thing anymore?
No, I was going to try a slightly different tack with Jonathan, but to be his friend, because I know one of the things that he likes, which isn't, like, horribly offensive to any right-thinking person, which is wrestling. He really likes wrestling. And Star Trek, I think he likes Star Trek as well, so you could have tapped into that.
Could have bonded over that. I think we tried that the other night, though. weirdly, and it didn't...
It's all deflection, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that was it. I think that was what became apparent. But look, to be honest, I think we spent as much time of our lives trying to make that productive and just dwelling on the fact that it wasn't, maybe isn't really helpful. But
yes, I
do. Are you familiar with the sitcom Community?
Yes.
Rick and Morty?
Yes.
So you're familiar with the work of Dan Harmon?
Yes, so, and Dan Harmontown as well. Yes,
Harmontown is his podcast. So I really like Dan Harmon. And it's basically been him saying that the time for kind of not picking a side is over, right? We are in a fight, and we have to pick a side, and we have to fight. And as much as I kind of respect that point of view, I think it's one thing to sort of stand by your guns, but, you know, we're just creating a world where we've got to kind of be fighting each other all the time.
Well, it's quite literally divisive, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Well, also, human beings are complicated, right? We're never, ever going to be all one thing, right? So, what side are you on?
Yeah.
And are you really willing to espouse that forever, regardless of what happens to you in life? I guess if you don't allow anything to happen to you in life, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can imagine that, like, a year or so after Hitler got into power, just kind of like saying, oh, I think I've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
I was just following the big boys, and all of a sudden I realised, oh, my mum wouldn't be happy about this. I think I'll just ride this one out.
That's a lovely idea of Hitler in his bunker, just like his head in his hands going, oh, lads, I have written a cheque my ass cannot cash.
Well, I mean, I've had some bad times. I've lost my home. I've lost control. I can't see any escape. I think it's time to buy a new keyboard.
Oh, wow. A stealth joke. A stealth joke.
Got to work it in.
It was perfect.
Oh, good. Oh, I appreciate that. The lack of laughter kind of threw me off slightly.
My mind was elsewhere through that. I was like, oh, man. You know,
this is taking a dark turn.
Like, you know, I thought Pablo will be good for, you know, romping through the last 10 minutes of the show. I was like, no, all right, focus up. He's reaching out. You know, maybe that's what we've become now on Thursday night's show, is an opportunity for people to... You know, to offer a hand and to have that hand reached for in return, that we are the other end of people's emotional flying trapeze. But no, you're making a stealth joke.
Well, if you think that's bad, I got attacked by a group of mime artists earlier. They've done unspeakable things to me.
Oh, no, it's good, though. It's good, because otherwise, what? You know, we would have to go and play Name a Thing until you can't name a thing anymore. And the word is shell.
Okay.
I'll start. Seashell.
Tortoise shell.
Shellfish.
Shell what now?
Shellfish.
Shellfish. Okay, sure. Shell suit.
Oh, shell top.
Michelle.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
I mean, we can have homonyms, or does it have to be like actually the word shell?
No,
it's radio. We're not writing anything down.
Exactly.
Shell company.
Oh. Shell case. You know, like for your computers and that.
I'm going to Google
that a
it.
Thing?
And if shell case has an actual entry, then we'll allow it.
Yeah. No.
The top result is case-shell scripting tutorial.
Shell case, stock and custom carrying cases for professionals.
Sure, but it's not the top entry.
Oh, you didn't say it had to be the top entry.
No, but I think it has to be the top entry.
Pabs?
Well, to be fair, I think I got a little bit of leeway earlier, so I can't really say anything.
Oh!
We respected you before, Pablo.
Shell shock.
Oh! Shell oil.
Rifle shell.
Sheldon.
Eh?
Sheldon.
Sheldon.
From the Big Bang Theory.
It's also a name. It existed prior to the Big Bang Theory. But I think there was a lot of animated turtles possibly called it.
Yes, well, that's certainly true. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Yeehaw! She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Hip ha! Hippy dee dee dee. Sorry.
Good song, but what's your suggestion?
She'll be coming round the mountain.
Oh, okay. Okay, 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 okay. Nutshell.
Ooh.
Oh, hey!
It's with Pablo.
Shell garage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
To be fair, that's probably the most like legitimate one I've given so far.
I mean, the brilliant thing is that I'm now sat facing Twitter.
I know.
So as people are tweeting suggestions, I'm like, oh, well, I could just cheat. I now feel. Does he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
A little peek beneath the velvet curtain. Yeah, exactly. Crab shell, soft shell.
Oh, you've given us two.
Soft shell, crab.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Michelle, my belle.
We already have Michelle.
Yeah, but I'm doing the song.
You're having Michelle, my belle. Okay. These are words that go together well. My Michelle. Pablo, it's with you.
Shell Island.
I'm going to Google it. If it's the top answer, I'll let you have it. Shell Island. Shell Island is a campsite in North Wales. Boom! Also known as Mochras, it's a peninsula lying west of Llanbedr in Gwynedd.
Well, I would have gone with the Welsh, but it wouldn't have fallen within the appropriate categories. So,
Well, it's very, very big of you.
I'm magnanimous in that respect.
Yeah. Shelby?
Okay. Do you remember when we were kids, Cockleshell Bay?
Was it a...
It was a little puppet stop-motion thing. Cockleshell Bay.
I'm going to Google Cockleshell. It just comes up with Cockleshell.
Cockleshell Bay is... Look, I put it into Google and look at the first thing it suggests.
Yeah, all right.
Do not mess with me.
Oh, jeepers. You'll be delighted to know we have 3 minutes left till we can go home. It's with you, Pablo.
Well, I'm already home, so it's. I feel like I'm already a winner.
Yeah.
I came here with nothing.
You've had a lovely day, Jim.
First of all, let's show you what you could have won.
Lovely people. A lot of lovely people. I think I've made some friends. I'll happily take that people back to my council estate.
You joke, but there used to be one around the corner from me, like parked up on someone's drive permanently. And my little girls used to say, why have they got a boat there? And I said, well, in case it rains a lot. And then one day it was gone. And my daughter looked at me knowingly like, my house has been rather wet recently.
Yeah, the guy that opens it, you know, has got a big long white beard and like an attic full of elephants and giraffes and... I think we all know where that's going. wasn't the idea, though, that if you won the speedboat, you could immediately sell it for cash?
I think.
And spend it all on special brew?
I think that was the idea.
But they couldn't just offer you a pallet full of special brew on the show? Because that made them look a bit less classy than they were going for.
Can you imagine hitching a speedboat to your Nova as you drive? What are we going to do with this?
You'd be quicker on the motorway in the speedboat. It's scraping along the... The propeller raking up the thing behind. Although that does remind me, the idea of a propeller raking up tarmac, that the first motorbike I ever rode was a 125, but it had big knobbly tyres on it. It was called a Suzuki Van Fan. and these big knobbly tyres that had these grooves in. Well, when they take the tarmac off the road, they now use this machine that's basically a big drum with chains on, and it threshes off the top layer of tarmac. So I was coming round for any Londoners. The Shepherd's Bush roundabout, which is just down the road from the old BBC television centre.
I've done that on my scooter.
Have you?
Yeah.
And they had, unbeknownst to me, threshed off the top layer of tarmac, and it turned out that the grooves in my knobbly tyres fit exactly into the grooves that were made by the threshed-out tracks. And so as I was trying to turn off the roundabout, my motorcycle had basically transformed from a motorcycle into a train. And I was leaning to go left, but instead I just carried on going right around the roundabout. Nearly crashed into a bus.
Oh, my.
Which reminds me of another fun story about nearly crashing on my motorcycle, which was when I was in a film. There was about 2 weeks where they decided to publicise that film by putting posters on the sides of buses, and I was nearly run over by a bus with a poster of my own face on.
Oh, that's a, some sort of moral tale, isn't it?
That's a show business way to die.
Did you ever see a fortune teller who said you're your own worst enemy?
Yeah. You want to talk about self-loathing nihilism? Throw yourself under a bus with your own face on it.
I was going to say, something I've learned since I've become a motorcyclist of sorts,
yeah.
I'm riding a hairdryer, is that I went out during one of the hurricanes recently, and you can get blown quite severely on those things, right?
Wind and downdrafts on two wheels, a terrifying prospect. We will talk more on exactly this in exactly 21 hours.